Story Chat with John Fornoff, the art and passion of storytelling. Here's your host, Brian Bulabush.
Hello, everyone. This is our third attempt at this. Welcome to Story Chat, where our little corner of the internet where we talk about the passion and art of storytelling. I'm Brian Bulabush, but you know that, and we're here with our teacher and mentor, John Fornoff. So, John, for the third time, how you doing, bud?
For the third time, I'm doing great. Of course, you at home listening is like, what's going on? Oh, we've been trying this for three times. Internet went down. We're in a cemetery, which creates all kinds of interesting problems. And we, one of us forgot to hit the record button. But
That was me. But it all happens on our very first episode where we have a special guest.
We have a very special guest. Yes, we do. But before we get to that, I want to stay tuned. We got a really special guest here with us, and we're excited to have him with us. But I want to give you a sense of where we are. I'm in Burbank, and specifically, I'm at Forest Lawn. I'm in a cemetery at Forest Lawn Cemetery, and a lot of celebrities are based here in one way or another. And it's really cool where I am because right across the street here, and you have to trust me, okay? Just trust me on this, all right? Right there is Disney. ABC is over that way. And back over that way is Warner Brothers. So it's a lot of stories are being told right around us here in Burbank. Because this is kind of really the real Hollywood. I mean, people talk about Hollywood. There's only one studio left in Hollywood, really, and it's Paramount, which is a wonderful studio. But pretty much all the stuff happening is just right around Burbank, TV and movies and stuff. So it's a great place to talk about story in a cemetery. All right. So anyway, Brian and Virginia are here to help
Georgia.
Me. Yes. Georgia.
I'm Georgia.
Oh, you're well, her name is Virginia. She's
oh,
here with us.
Oh, yeah. I thought yeah. You were talking. I'm from. Oh,
oh okay. Yeah. I'm just paying, I'm ashamed. Paying my respects here. Paying my respects. Speaking of respect, we want to respect our guest who has been through a lot through all our fits and starts getting our show going today. We have a very special guest from Audio Theater Central with the podcast there, the originator founder, the guy behind it, J.D. Sutter, with his team there. And Audio Theater Central, J.D. is just a wonderful help as far as audio dramas, family-friendly audio dramas. And that's what Audio Theater Central is all about. They're about raising the bar of excellence in family-friendly audio drama. And they also are behind the Seneca Awards. And every year they give out awards for the best as far as acting, the best overall show, best music score, that kind of thing. And so we are really excited to have JD with us. JD, thank you for being with us today.
It is my pleasure. I've been listening to the show since the beginning, so it's great to be here.
Awesome. We've got a fan.
You also helped us from the beginning.
Yes.
So thank you for getting us started. You've had your hand in all sorts of things, these awards. So thank you for lending your time to help make this a little bit better.
Absolutely.
So JD's is coming to us from Phoenix, Arizona, where he is based. And JD, it's so good to have you here, man. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this conversation. I love talking story.
me too. And why we're laughing is we went through a lot to bring this show to you today. Believe me, okay? We love you guys. So we're going through the gauntlet for you, all right? All right. So JD, I want to ask you, how many hours you listen to a lot of audio dramas, right? How many hours of audio drama have you listened to, do you think? Just give us a guess.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing this for over 11 years now as an actual critic, and before that as just a fan. So I've listened to thousands of hours of audio drama over the years.
Thousands of hours. Wow. Okay, so I think just by listening all those hours, you probably have a pretty good sense of what makes a great story. So tell me, from your vantage point, what makes a great story? What's some of the best stories that really grab you? And this will help us as we're talking to writers. And just kind of give us a sense of what do you think makes a great story?
Yeah, to me, it really comes down to the characters, because that's, you know, in terms of structure and building a story, this may not be where you want to start. You're the expert on that. But as a consumer, to me, it's all about those characters and how relatable they are and putting them in some interesting situations that I, as a listener, can say, wow, that is really interesting. And I can relate to that. Or, what would I do if I was in their situation? So that's what it's really all about to me.
So it comes down to just great characters that draw you into the story. Is that right? Is what you're saying?
That's okay.
Yep. That's awesome. Tell me, as you're watching this, and this helps us as writers too, as you're watching a character go through the gauntlet, and you're relating to them, how does it help you personally in your own life? What do you take away from that as you're watching a movie, or you're listening to an audio drama, or you're reading a book, and you're in the life of the character? What's it doing for you personally? What does it do for you?
Well, it really kind of depends on the specific circumstances, but a lot of times for me, it's about seeing how they persevere through obstacles or maybe how they interact with somebody else. And I can say, wow, you know what? You know, last week I had an interaction with somebody that it didn't go the way that it really should have. And I see how they handled this here. And, you know, so I think really good stories can often put a mirror up to your face, and you can see, wow, yeah, that I see myself in that character. And sometimes it's not what you really want to see.
That's really good. So also, I guess as we're watching these stories, like, it helps us if we're dealing with our own Sauron, the evil eye, you know, of in Lord of the Rings, or we're facing or one of those guys. I guess we face our own villains, and sometimes character problems become a man versus himself. That's one of the conflicts there. Is sometimes we, like you're talking about, putting the mirror in front of us. Sometimes we're our own obstacle. Tell me a story that touched you personally. It's like, and you talk about in general, but is there a specific story you can remember, or a movie or a book, and it just really helped you through something you're dealing with, or it just inspired you in some way? And it inspired you to do something or whatever. Can you give us an example of that? By the way, we don't rehearse these questions. I'm just slamming JT. He's like,
whether he's ready for it or not.
That's right. We're just having a great conversation. So you guys are welcome to be part of it. So, and JD, if I ask something you don't want to answer, just say, I'm going to pass on that question. Okay.
All right. Yeah. And now that you say that, I also think that another thing that really pulls me in is a story that incites some sort of emotion in me as well. So one of the first things that comes to mind is Sir Knight of the Splendid Way from Lamplighter Theater. Oh, and there were just some absolutely beautiful, beautiful moments in that audio drama, which is also based on a book. And so I don't know if all of the circumstances that I really resonated with were originally in the book, because I know that you adapted that and you made a few alterations. But one scene in particular was the scene where our protagonist is in this area, and there are these two sisters who are representing certain types of situations that you might face in life. And this might be a little bit of a cop-out, I guess I should say, because this is an allegory. So it is a little bit more on the nose than you know, your everyday story. So that should be said. But these two characters are representing certain things. And there's a statement that's made that the moment you speak to those circumstances, we'll use that as a term here, they have to lead you to the king. And as a Christian, you know, the king is Jesus. And so I was just like, man, that is absolutely true. And you talk a lot about your stories have to have truth in there. And that one was one of the ones that just, I mean, it was hard to just keep listening, because I wanted to, like, oh, wow. I just had to stop and the first time and just digest it, you know. And I love stories that pull me in so deeply that at the end of them, I'm just sitting. I've got to ruminate on this for a while. I can't just go on to the next novel. I can't go on to the next audio drama. I need to think about this for a little while, because it has affected me. And so those are the stories that I absolutely love.
So you're a novel guy. You're an audio drama guy, obviously. Mm-hmm. Why those two? Why not musicals? Why not stage plays? Why not? Well, almost one and the same. Why not movies or, I don't know, Reddit posts? why those specific mediums And I mean, that's not a slam on them. I'm just curious, sure. What about those do you find more attractive than other mediums?
Well, I was actually raised in a home where we didn't have a television.
Oh.
And so I have, I'm long ways from my parents' home now, but I've chosen to keep that going. And so I don't, for me personally, it's just like, there's so much visual stuff going on all the time, and I just don't need that in my life. And so, audio drama was always a first storytelling method for me, and I've been reading since I was a young kid as well. And so, those are the ones that I just gravitate towards. Even now, as an adult, I do enjoy a good stage play. And in fact, I just went to see a C.S. Lewis production just a couple of weeks ago, and so. I do love that. And I, there are other types of stories. I do like, just storytelling, audio, oral storytelling. I've been to some sort of events like that. So, it's not that I don't appreciate other mediums,
yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
But these that's are the main ones for me personally.
What, that's good. Thank you. Thank you. Going back real quick to Sir Knight of the Splendid Way, what was unique about, I want to tell a little story behind this story, kind of relates to what you're talking about, how story affects you emotionally too. There was, and I was just reading about this today, it was really interesting, just reading this line. But so the part you talked about there, the two sisters, that was part of the original book. So I like to remain true to the book as much as possible. But every once in a while, I'll get inspiration to write something unique. And one of the parts that really touched me as far as the emotion, that kind of thing, is I was going through a tough time because I messed up, and we mess up in life. I messed up in an area in my life, and I was feeling very despondent about it. It's like, oh man, why did I do that? I love God. Why did I mess up? And I was just kind of wallowing in that. And I was writing Sir Knight of the Splendid Way. And while I'm writing it, it's about 2 a.m, which a lot of times for Lamplighter Theater, you got to write at 2 a.m. to get it done. But anyway, that's another story. As I'm writing, there's a part where our hero does something really, really awful, and someone dies. So I'm not going to spoil it. But anyway,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay. So. Okay.
But apparently, and, I got to listen to it now. So
yes, you do. It really gripped me. So on this one, he's responsible for this person dying unintentionally, but it happens, and he's very despondent. It's like, I don't want to get up, or I don't want to do anything anymore. I'm done. I'm done with this whole quest. And there's this shepherd that comes alongside him, and he says, you can quit now. And you can be a cautionary tale for others. But he says the path of the righteous is not determined by the fall, but by the rising after the fall. And he says, rise, Sir Constant. And when I wrote that, it's like, oh, man, God was speaking to me. And I just started weeping. And it's 2 a.m, right? So I call Mark Hamby, who's our executive producer, at 2 a.m. And I just had to talk to him. I'm like my tears are streaming. It's like, oh. And he says, John, is that you? And I couldn't talk. It was like, and God just touched me with that. And I had to call Mark. And so there's something about that emotion that grabs you, pulls you into the story. And I love, as a writer, and this speaks to you as writers too, when you feel something deeply, when you write from that place in your heart and you're brave enough, courageous enough to go there, you can touch other people with that same emotion, and you can draw something out for them. JD, what are some of, thank you for sharing that about that. What about any other favorite stories and how they affected you?
A book that I read in the last couple of years is called All Manner of Things by Susie Finkbeiner. And I mentioned earlier just real life situations and circumstances that the characters go through. And this is a story that's very much that. There's no huge plot to take over the world. There's no action adventure. This is just real people going through real life. Mm-hmm. And, real life is not pretty all the time. And so mm-hmm. sometimes those kind of story, and you know what? A lot of people, they go to fiction in any kind of medium for escapism. And mm-hmm. there's a place for that, I think. But for me, I just really appreciate genuine, real stories. And so this book is one like that. It's just a family that's going through life, and the Vietnam War happens, and you know, the family members go off to war, and then the family has a split, and there's just trials. And our protagonist is the daughter in the family, and there's just things going on, and you're living through this with her because it's written so well. And look, I'm not a female. I can't relate directly with some of the things that this girl was going through, but just the overarching experience of just going through hard times and how to persevere and how to keep the faith and don't lose hope. And it's an absolutely beautiful book, and one that this is the only time this has ever happened to me. So I was reading the actual print book, and I was reading during my lunch break at work, and I got off work and I'm like, I've got an hour and a half commute. I want to know what's going on. I pulled out my phone, went and got the audiobook right that moment, and started listening so I could continue the story as I was driving home.
That's high praise for a book.
JD, what do you think? Yeah, that's beautiful. What a story. You're kind of touching on it here already, but what a story do for us as a society, why is story good for us? Why do we listen? Is it just to escape? You kind of touched on that a little bit, but why is it good for us? Can you tell us about that?
I think it's ingrained in humans to appreciate story. And I think that's put there by God because he is the great storyteller. And I think that's a way that so many people can learn. You know, you can sit down and read a textbook, but if it's written in a way that is narrative, that makes it much easier for people to digest a lot of times, rather than just facts and figures and dates and names. You know what I mean? And so I think it's just part of who we are as people.
I remember reading that verse in Matthew, talking about Jesus didn't go anywhere without telling a parable. And there's something about he's getting across spiritual principles by telling story, which was really good. Well, we're going to talk about what makes a great ending here in just a moment.
If I can actually
ask
a question.
Yeah, go ahead, jump in.
Because a word you used earlier, JD, really stuck out to me. And it's a word that for any storyteller is almost a swear word, because you don't want to hear this about this thing, but it's a odd gravitational pull. You use the word critic. And because of the Seneca stuff, I'm sure you've judged thousands of stories. I mean, everyone judges thousands of stories upon listening and hearing it. There's a judgmental eye no matter what you do. But you do it professionally, which I can't say I've talked to a lot of people who judge stories professionally. So how does that work as a professional story critic? What do you feel your responsibilities are to the story itself, or just storytelling in general? Just talk about the criticism process and how you go about it.
Well, it's a bit of a blessing and a curse, because now that I've been doing this for so long, it's really, really difficult to turn off that part of my brain and not listen to an audio drama or read a book, because I have also been running a website where we review books for nearly as long as Audio Theater Central as well. So it's really difficult. And so I think the way that it works for me is just when I get just so pulled and drawn into that story that I forget that I have
you're wearing
and
that
I take off that I take off that critic hat. And a lot of times when I'm going to be reviewing a production or a book, especially with audio dramas, short 30-minute episodes, I'm going to listen to them multiple times. And so I really try the first time just to listen as the regular guy, and it's more difficult than you might think. But the stories that are engrossing and I forget about that part, that's what I'm after. And I recently was in, our team has a Slack group, and I just posted in there the other day couple of weeks back, I guess, I said, you know what? I haven't read a book in a little while now that has just that I've gotten lost in. And I'm searching for that right now because the last several books have not done that for me. Any suggestions? And, you know, so that's what I'm after. And the same with an audio drama or a stage play. You forget where you are in the moment. You're just in the story. I don't know if that really answers your question, but
I mean, kind of. It's to some writers, and even I'm an actor. To actors, we all fear the critic's hand because that can make or break careers. You want people to like you, but I think it's also important to know that you want most critics, if they're worth what their salt, want to like the story. They want to get invested. And if they're there just to criticize, they're not a good critic.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I'll always try to be gracious and come at this at the project from the producer's perspective, and find the things that I can praise. And this is something that we decided a long time ago, is that if we don't think it's worth your time, and again, this is specific to audio drama, but if we don't think it's worth your time at all, we're just not even going to review it. And so if we talk about it, then we think, okay, there are some little niggles here and there, but it's still worth investing your time in, because people's time is valuable. And, you know, I want to honor that with my recommendations and with any content that I create, because I want to make sure that I'm, you know, not wasting people's time.
That's one thing I really appreciate when you do your critiques. When you guys do it, you point out the stuff that's good, but you also don't pull any punches. It's like, you know, I just didn't like this character. It's like, oh, okay. You know, and when we listen to that as producers, you know, we might not agree, but a lot of times, like, yep. In fact, I can't remember what it was. You made a specific comment about something that wasn't working. And I was listening to it and said, yep, you're exactly right. That didn't work. And I really appreciate it. You don't pull any punches. You just, you lay it on the line. It's like, you talk about what's good and what's bad. And I think it's what Brian was saying. It's like, it's not just, just not all the negatives, like you're saying, just it's a positive as well. Just to wrap us up, and Brian, feel free to jump in here. I just got a couple more other things to wrap up.
Oh, no, absolutely. Keep going. Yeah. This is good. Yeah. This is good.
Two things I want to wrap us up with. What makes a great ending? We're in a cemetery. Let's make use of the great ending. What makes a great ending? And then I just want to leave our writers out there, our storytellers, with something that can just inspire them about telling story, about how important it is. And just from your point of view, JD, I'd like to leave them with some inspiration. So, but let's talk about, since we're in the cemetery, I thought, wouldn't it be cool to talk about what makes a great ending for a movie, for a book, for an audio drama, for any kind of story? What makes, in your opinion, makes a great ending? I've been thinking about this too, JD, so we can work on this together, okay? So it's not like it's not all on, I'm not putting all the pressure on you, okay? But in your opinion,
I've definitely got thoughts on it. So,
oh, okay, hit me. What are some?
Oh no, no, I didn't mean to cut you off. But...
Oh no, no, please tell me what makes a great ending.
I think he's probably still processing himself. So,
well, I mean, to me, it does not have to be a perfect happily ever after kind of ending, because again, real life isn't like that all the time. And in fact, it's rarely like that, if we're honest. And so it does not have to be that way, but it does have to have resolution, and it needs to make sense. And I've listened to so many stories, I've read so many books, and you get to the end and you're just like, that's just not satisfying. And sometimes you can even say, I can see how they arrived at that, but it still kind of leaves a bad taste in my mouth. And so you have to strike that balance between, this is believable, that makes sense, but also it's not too perfect, but you still have to have some resolution. And, you know, here... I was debating whether or not to do this, but I'm going to call out a couple of books. These are two series that were highly recommended to me. And as an avid reader, I was very interested in the premise, and I jumped in. And they're both long series. The Inheritance Cycle by Christopher Paolini and The Wingfeather Saga by Andrew Peterson. Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I've read Inheritance. So
an amazing story. Fantastic world building. Vivid, vibrant, wonderful characters. Very unsatisfactory ending at the very end of the last book for me personally.
I absolutely
agree there.
Oh, and we don't want to spoil, but overall, in general, what made it, without spoiling, what made it unsatisfying?
It was the way that the some of the main characters. I don't know how to do this without spoiling. okay. The way that the resolution came, it made a little sense for the story world, but it's not what you as a reader wanted to happen, because you'd become so invested in the outcomes, and it just wasn't. It just didn't feel good when you got to the point there. And this, it was the exact same thing for the Wingfeather Saga for me personally.
You know,
I absolutely agree with the Inheritance. I was more okay with the ending because for me it was thank God it's over and everyone's still alive. Well, that's a spoiler. that's a minor spoiler, but it did have that sense of wait, that was it. It felt like it ended too soon, if that made sense. It's like they got halfway through Act 3 and didn't finish. So there are my two cents on Inheritance.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, you mentioned a bet. It doesn't have to have a happy ending. One thing, Blake Snyder, he was he really revolutionized Hollywood, giving us a terminology for a story beats. And one thing he talks about is the opening image and the closing image, how you start a story or a movie, how you end it. And it's kind of a full circle thing. And there's something really satisfying when you start off with an opening image and that ending image relates to that. You realize you've gone on a journey and you're in some place different. To me, that makes a satisfying ending. A good example of that, here's some good examples of not happy endings. We like happy endings when they make sense and that kind of thing. You talked about that. Here's a couple unhappy endings, one that worked and one I don't think did. One is Citizen Kane. By the way, if you want to know about great storytelling, read great books, watch great movies, watch the classics, the ones that have lasted through the ages. They're lasting that way for a reason. Citizen Kane is one, and it's not a happy ending. But at the beginning, Citizen Kane is he's on his deathbed. He's talking about Rosebud and all that. He's like, what's Rosebud? What is it? And at the very end of the movie, without spoiling it, we find out what Rosebud is. And so even though it's an unhappy ending, it brings a resolution. It's like, oh, that's what he was searching for all his life. It was that. And it's just this very poignant ending. But again, it's opening image, relating. It's set up in the very opening image and it's resolved at the end. And even though it's not a happy ending, it's a cautionary tale that says, wow, that I don't want my life just to be pursuing power, pursuing wealth, and watch, and I'm missing life itself. Here's an unhappy ending. This is a recent movie, the latest Bond movie that ended Daniel Craig.
I've heard good things about it.
I like the movie. I was liking it. It had some references to the old James Bond. It was the old car. I love the old car with all the gadgets and stuff. And I was enjoying the movie. It was really good. And then at the end, it's like, no. And I'm not going to spoil it.
Yeah.
But here's what would have made it more satisfying. If they had the opening image of James Bond doing something, and at the very end, if they had him doing the very same thing, but it has a new meaning. Mm. That, even though there's an unhappy ending here, that's all I'll say. But it was double unhappy because like it missed the rhythm, the poetry of referring back to the very beginning. It's like, oh, you know what? I don't want to see that happen, but that I see how it relates. It makes sense story-wise. So,
we've got 5 minutes left before Zoom meeting shuts down.
Well, let's let's wrap it up. Well, I got an idea.
The last thing I'd have to say is my thoughts on this is a good ending. A story speaks truth. Mm-hmm. The ending is where the truth is actually spoken.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And actually stated and actually talked about and actually seen to its conclusion. And if that's not, if that doesn't ring with truth, then you're going to have a rotten ending.
That's a very good point. Yeah, that's a very good point. Well, JD, as we, there's something about that truth where it's just like, you know, I might disagree, but it's true. It's true to the story. And it's true to life. So JD, as we wrap up, we're talking to writers out there that are, they're working through stories and maybe struggles with their stories, or they're working on a movie, or working on a novel, working on a, whatever they're working on, a devotion book, whatever. What would you say to our writers out there as far as what they're doing for society, for us in general? What, anything you would say to just inspire them a little bit to keep on writing a story? What would you say to our writers out there?
Well, first of all, I would like to say that don't worry too much about the critics, because to a certain extent, I mean, any kind of storytelling and any opinions on them is subjective to a certain extent as well. And so, you know, don't worry too much about that. But you good storytelling just comes down to something that your audience can connect with, resonate with, and go on that journey that in this world that you've created, or with these characters that you've created, you know, focus on just making it come alive. And as you always say, you know, both of you guys have talked about this a lot in past episodes, is building that truth into the story and making sure that that is a part of it. And, you know, I know you're a fan of this. It doesn't have to be preachy. It doesn't have to be on the nose, but it helps when those stories are, or when truths are built into the story, and it just it makes it, I don't know, it just makes it come alive in a way that when you're just, you know, trying to cobble something together and yes, you're not taking time with creating it, and here, this is unrelated to everything I've just said, but this is a big thing that I've learned in my own projects. Research, a lot of research. Don't just throw something on the page and then just start whipping it out. You find out what you need to know to make this stuff genuine and real and relatable, and do whatever research is necessary to make that a priority in your projects. Because that's one thing that will always automatically pull me out of a story, is if there's something that is very obvious that they didn't research, and it doesn't help. It doesn't help, and you're going to get those bad reviews.
Mm-hmm. But you're saying too, don't worry about the critic. Just that was really important. Sometimes there's an inner critic too that stops us before we start. So that's really, really good.
Well, and that doesn't mean just professional critics. If you show your work to anybody, they're automatically a critic. So even if this one person doesn't like, no matter how much you value their opinion, that doesn't mean it's all wrong. Yeah, you might want to look at it again. But at the, one of the most valuable lessons I ever received in theater was the director looked at me and said, yeah, I'm making this show for me. If other people happen to enjoy it, awesome. I mean, that's kind of the idea, but she was directing it for her because she was the ultimate audience member. And I absolutely love that.
That's it. You brought up a really good point too. That's really good. And also, but there's something about, we talk about truth and we'll wrap up here, is that there's something about looking for truth. And whenever you're criticized by anything in life, any kind of criticism that comes your way, always look for the truth. Don't just like, oh, I don't want to pay attention to that because something negative. Look for the truth. If there's no truth in it, just throw it all out. But look, is there an element of truth in there I can learn from that will help me in my story? And if it's not, just throw it out kind of thing. We're going to wrap up now. JD, thank you so much for being with
me. Thank you. Anything thank else, you so much.
I think that's it. Okay.
I think that's it.
We got it. Okay.
Go for your
anything
outro.
Anything else, JD?
No, I just want to agree with what you just said there. It's you know, I always look for whatever meat I can find in that story, and I just toss out the bones.
That's good, JD. It's great to be with you. Thank you so much for being on our show.
And thank you.
Thanks for being part of Story Chat. And appreciate all you're doing with Audio Theater Central. Get a chance, check out Audio Theater Central. It's a great podcast. A lot of fun. Those guys just have a lot of fun when you go through those shows. Yeah, it's great. So give a listen to that. And want to talk to you. Just thank you so much for being part of Story Chat. Feel free to reach out to us if you need anything. We appreciate you. Keep writing. We need you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Story Chat. If you want to hear more, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. If you have any questions for John or feedback on the show, please email us at storychatwithjohn@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.